In a world full of rush and hurry, it's so important to set aside time to just be still. To reconnect that vital relationship with a God who loves and wants to be close to you. So sit back and settle in for the next few minutes. And welcome to Common Prayer.
Hello all, and welcome to Wednesday of week 2 of Advent. Good to have you with us. I hope you are doing well, and I hope that these meditations we've been doing have been starting to shape your heart and your sense of wonder and anticipation for Christmas. I know in our house, my youngest daughter, Adley, who's 4 years old, this is really in some ways the first Christmas season that I think she really kind of gets it, and it has been feverishly growing in excitement around here as presents have arrived under the tree, all of that. But one of my favorite things is each night after dinner, we do our Advent calendar, which is, you know, it's one of those kind of, you pull the drawer out for the number of the day and there's a little chocolate inside, and we alternate between my oldest and my youngest on who gets to eat it. And almost every night, my four-year-old comes up and says, "Daddy, it's almost Christmas. We're almost there." And yet I have to inform her how far away we still are. But her little heart is bursting with excitement. And, you know, as a reminder to me as we go through these Advent meditations, that's what this season's for. It's for cultivating that wonder, cultivating that imagination for what it's like to arrive at Christmas. And for little Adley Mae, it is, her heart is bursting with joy as she anticipates the arrival of Christmas. And so I hope that in some small way, these meditations have been able to do that. It maybe centered you a little bit in this season and given you the chance to cultivate that longing, that wondering. And I'm excited to continue our meditations today in the book of Isaiah. But before we do that, let's partake in a moment of silence together. Again, these are opportunities to center God's presence, to center His voice, not our own, as we enter into a moment to still ourselves, remind ourselves of the presence of God, and then we break that silence with the scriptures. So God gets the first word, not ourselves. So will you join me in a moment, just a minute of quiet, where we can just center the presence of God within us. Text today comes from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 through 5. "Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling, 'In the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, and the rugged places a plain. And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all people will see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken.'" You know, in many ways, this text is speaking of kind of the overarching story of Isaiah, and really in some ways the overarching story of Advent. I mean, the whole message is wrapped up in this text. You see, you know, the story of Isaiah is this narrative about the people's liberation from oppression. You know, it speaks of the coming Messiah, the waiting that we find in Advent. And you know, this particular text, it opens with these words, "Comfort, comfort my people." Now, at this point in Isaiah, the people of God had been exiled to Babylon, and they had seemingly been crying out to this kind of sort of empty void, right? That's what we've been looking at this week, is that how long are we waiting in the unknown peace? And this is what the people of God are experiencing. They had this long period of silence It doesn't take much to imagine that given the circumstances of the people in exile, they must have felt abandoned. I'm sure there's this sense of despair that was coming over them, but it's these verses that break that silence. Comfort, comfort my people. You see, for the exiles, this would have begun to transform their world. It would begin to change the fortunes of the people of God. Old Testament scholar Walter Brueggemann, he writes this of the text, of this particular text. He says, "The speech breaks both the despair of Judah and the power of Babylon. It penetrates the emptiness of exile and fills the world of Judaism with possibilities unanticipated, but not available in divine decree." So he's saying that this speech, this entering into the silence, "Comfort, comfort my people," breaks despair and the power of Babylon. It breaks both the despair and the one producing despair. You see, for Israel, it is this breaking in of liberation. It's the promise and the fulfillment that God is not distant, but rather God's presence is with the people, a sort of transformative solidarity. Not simply this offer of solace, but a powerful intervention on behalf of God. See, the breaking of the silence by Yahweh is the thing that we rehearse in Advent. We sit in this waiting, this longing that seems so antithetical to what we know about life. This is not the way our hearts are naturally bent, to sit in the waiting, to sit in the longing. But we sit in it hoping for God to make things right. We stare directly into the brokenness of the world. We see the complexity of our life in this moment. But we do that waiting and recognizing that God's transformative presence is with us. Comfort, comfort my people. You see, the source of comfort for the people of God is this release and the forgiveness of their sins. The exile was the result of Israel's lack of faithfulness to God. Their failure had led them to be overthrown by Babylon and taken into exile. But the hope here in Advent is God saying, enough. And listen to what he says, "Speak tenderly to Jerusalem, proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins." See, God's breaking the silence is declaring enough, enough punishment, enough payment, enough exile, enough displacement. It's the beautiful assertion of forgiveness. That the Israelites' punishment for sin was coming to an end because God is moving. He is restoring, reconciling, and he is making all things new, and it's beginning right here in the midst of our own failure. But that breaking in of the silence is followed up with this prepare the way of the Lord. And I love that this is in this text because, again, the commands to build a highway in the desert. I mean, highways for the ancient world were used for processionals. They were used to allow a king to return to the homeland from battle victorious. It's prepare the highway because God is, in fact, victorious. And that image is actually used by all four Gospels. John the Baptist reiterates the theme over and over. It is Jesus who we are preparing the path in the desert for, because he, in fact, has been the fulfillment, the forgiveness of our sin. That work of restoration is found in Jesus. This is the good news we celebrate. God is making a way in the desert. Hope is coming. Comfort is coming. So I don't know where you're at in this, but I do know in one way we are all in exile. Largely, if not entirely, because of our own failure, of our own sin. We've been dislocated from the right relationship with God and with others and with the created order. But comfort, comfort, God is moving. So why don't you take a deep breath. Sit in the presence of God. What I want to do is just try to draw our minds and allow the Holy Spirit to draw our hearts to where we have been feeling that exile, and sit in those words, comfort, comfort my people. So as you take a few more deep breaths, I want you to invite the Holy Spirit to highlight, where are you feeling exile? Maybe said differently, where, Holy Spirit, is my sin wreaking havoc in my life? Maybe it's relationships. Maybe it's at work with your kids. Maybe it's addiction. Where are you feeling that isolation? Where are you feeling that exile? And as the Holy Spirit highlights those areas, hold them, recognizing that God sees them, God knows them. Ask forgiveness for those things. Own up to your own failures, your own miscues. But you are not alone. Exile is not eternal. God is in fact moving, God is in fact reconciling, God is in fact wanting to forgive you of those sins, to take those things and for you to find healing and salvation. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. This is your prayer. This is what we attune our hearts to in Advent, the coming of God to bring healing and reconciliation to all the brokenness that we experience. Let me finish with our prayer for the week. How long, O Lord, must we suffer under evil and darkness? Shine your light on me this day, that my life would point to your coming glory, by which the world will be healed and your people set free through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Amen and amen.
Common Prayer is a ministry of Central Peninsula Church in Foster City, California. You can now access and subscribe to Common Prayer episodes on the Google Podcast Store, Apple Music, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. Of course, you can always check back daily right here for episodes at cpc.org. Thanks for listening. We'll see you tomorrow.